the National Broadcasting Company invites you to Meet the Meek. Yes, friends, you're invited to Meet the Meek, the Mortimer Meeks who live on Elm Street in Civic Center. Well, it's breakfast time in the little white house with the green shutters, and Mortimer is just entering the dining room.
Well, good morning, Agatha, dear.
Good morning, Mortimer. Isn't it a beautiful August day? Can't you just smell something in the air?
Yes, burnt toast. Is Lily here?
Mm-hmm. She's out in the kitchen. It's her day to help out.
Oh. Yes, I hear it works.
Oh, dear. Excuse the intrusion. It is my unhappy and unpleasant duty to announce that from now on, the gravy will no longer be served in the gravy boat.
You see, Mortimer? Now perhaps you understand why my nerves are just shot to pieces the one day a week Lily's here.
Yes, I understand. Between Lily breaking dishes and your brother Louis breaking his springs on the sofa, it's quite a strain. However...
Good morning, Parrot.
Well, good morning, daughter.
Morning, Peggy, dear.
Well, here I am, neat and sweet and ready to eat. What's roaming on the kitchen range? Anybody call me on the horn? Any family fan talk that ought to be dished?
Hey, she means she's hungry. What's for breakfast? Didn't anybody call her on the telephone? And is there any gossip? Yeah, right, daughter?
Right, Pop. You send it solid.
Oh, honestly, you two. How a grown man can act like that, I don't know.
And what's wrong with the way I asked, I'd like to know.
Nobody's talking about you, Brother Louie. Now sit down and eat your breakfast.
Okay, Aggie. I'll only take 4 eggs this morning. I had a terrible night. I only slept 12 hours.
Oh, you poor boy.
Now you stop belittling, Morty.
Yeah, now don't call me Morty.
Boys, now stop. Both of you.
Okay, sis. I guess I'm too sensitive. Pass the cream, Peggy.
Okay.
Sugar, Mortimer.
Right here.
Aggie, I like a little of that jam.
Oh, Uncle Louie, why don't you get married?
A little more sugar. Huh? Did you say married?
Not Peggy.
This should be interesting.
I think it would be super spoony if you got married, Uncle Louie. I love weddings.
Now, Niecy, that's no way to start breakfast. How could I leave my dear sister and my dear brother-in-law...
And your dear 6 eggs for breakfast.
And my dear 6 eggs... Now, cut that out.
Oh, I'm sorry, Uncle Louie. I didn't mean to upset you. I was just thinking how nice it would be if you got married. Then I'd have an aunt, and I'd get one extra present on my birthday and on Christmas.
Oh, well, that's very practical, Peggy.
Now, let me handle this, Mortimer. Peggy, dear, your Uncle Louie is only waiting for Miss Wright to come along. Now, there's a Miss Wright and a Mr. Wright for everybody in the world.
Get married. Lose my freedom. Worry myself down to skin and bones.
Yeah, well, this I'd like to see.
Did you say something, Pop?
No, daughter. And if you would take a word of advice, you'd be careful about playing Cupid. You're liable to shoot your arrow into the wrong person and hit the wrong place.
Hiya, Jill. Come on up on the porch.
Hiya, Peg. How'd it go? What did your Uncle Louie do when you popped it at him?
He nearly fried a whole piece of toast.
Oh, I told you we shouldn't have. I don't know why I let you talk me into these things.
Why, I talk you into these things. Jill Donovan, were you or were you not all over goosebumps yesterday at the idea of being a bridesmaid and wearing a beautiful gown and a big picture hat?
Well, the way you described your Uncle Louie's wedding...
That's the way it will be, too. Uncle Louie in a cutaway coat, and my father in one of those high silk hats, and my mother wearing a long, flowing gown, and you and I.
Oh, Jill. No, I shouldn't have loaned you my 55 cents to send that telegram to the Wistful Hearts Club.
Oh, stop being a worrywart. Uncle Louie's my uncle, isn't he?
Mm-hmm, but it was my 55 cents.
You'll get it back with interest. Look, how could I resist sending that telegram? Just look at this wonderful ad in this magazine. Are you one who is alone? Do you cry out for someone to understand you? Uncle Louie is always crying out.
Oh.
Your true soulmate is waiting for you now. Now, listen to this part.
Oh, you read it to me yesterday before we sent the telegram.
Charming, brilliant, attractive, and cultured young woman seeks marriage. Substantial dowry and complete trousseau.
find Lonesome, care of the Wistful Hearts Club Metropolis. And look at Lonesome's picture. Isn't she smooth?
Yes, but she's got kind of an old-fashioned hairdo.
She probably had that picture taken abroad. Anyway, we've set the wheels in motion. I wired her.
Oh, you sure did, the way you described your Uncle Louie.
Well, I simply said, handsome, attractive man, interesting. Besides, no harm can come of an innocent telegram, especially the way I signed it.
You mean you didn't sign your Uncle Louie's name to it?
Of course not. I simply signed it Brown Eyes and gave our address. So they start corresponding, and if Uncle Louie doesn't like Lonesome, if and when he ever meets her, he'll never know that he, my Uncle Louie, is Brown Eyes. I hope.
Mortimer?
Yes, dear?
Did anything strike you as strange at breakfast this morning?
You mean Louis eating only four eggs instead of his usual six?
I mean Peggy's remark about Louis getting married.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't give it another thought. Why, Peggy's at the age where she just says whatever popped into her mind. She was probably thinking about orange blossoms, rice, and old shoes, and that suggested Louis. Where is Louis, by the way?
He's up in his room. He said he had a problem he wanted to think over.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of Louis's brightest thoughts come to him while he's lying down. Where is Peggy?
Out on the front porch with Jill Donovan.
What do those two find to talk about all the time, Agatha?
Oh, this and that. You haven't forgotten, have you, Mortimer, dear, the sweet, innocent joys of childhood?
Oh, and maybe Lonesome owns a huge country estate with horses and a polo field and a tremendous big swimming pool. And she and Uncle Louie will invite us down for weekends, and we'll meet college men and orchestra leaders and all the playboys of Cafe Society.
And maybe Lonesome owns a broken-down old farm and we'll be invited for the weekend to cook for the harvest hands.
Oh, no, Jill. Lonesome is glamorous. I know it. I feel it in my bones. He's tall and willowy.
And your Uncle Louie is short and stumpy.
He looks a little like Rosalind Russell, and a little like Ingrid Bergman, and a little like...
Ingrid Bergman. Now, there's a mattress. I saw her at the Bijo last night. She was half of a double feature.
Were you at the Bijo again, Louie?
This picture's about a place in the desert Warner Brothers bought it. Ingrid, she's very unhappy because Paul Henright, he is unhappy. And then Humphrey Bogart, he comes in, he always looks unhappy. And I had a very satisfactory cry. It was a four handkerchief picture. Do you two want some lemonade? It's in the kitchen on the shelf.
Oh, gosh, thanks, Lily. Come on, Jill.
Thanks, Rose, Lily. Youth, mad, frivolous youth, like in the picture, the same name. Ooh, my feet hurt.
Is this 431 Elm Drive, lady?
The number is plainly designated on the porch. Yes.
I got a telegram.
From your uniform, I quickly guessed you'd have.
It's for Brown Eyes.
For which eyes?
Brown Eyes.
Young man, it is much too hot for any brand of humor. Besides, I saw Iverson Costello last week. There was this girl and this boy.
Is this 431 Elm Drive?
It is. For the second time. And it is the residence of Mr. and Mrs. Mortimer Meat, Miss Peggy Meat, Mr. Louis Meat, and once weekly, this day only, myself.
No Brown Eyes?
No Brown Eyes. Period.
I told them they were screwy back at the office.
To which you may add my sentiments. I agree. Now, is there anything else you'd like to know?
Uh-uh. Sorry to bother you, lady.
Lily, was that a telegram boy I saw leaving?
Yes, Mrs. Meek. Only it was a case of mistaken identity.
Mistaken identity?
What do you mean, Lily?
Well, it was like in that picture, the scarlet letter. There was this mysterious letter, and Metro bought it. And
Lily, if you don't mind, please, just what did the messenger want?
Well, that's what I was coming to, Mrs. Meek. He wanted brown eyes.
Brown eyes?
Believe me, Mr. Meek, if I didn't trust my own ears, I would look just as quizzical as you. I told him that we had no brown eyes residing here.
Yes, well, you did very well, Lily. It was probably all a mistake.
What was the mistake, Pop?
Oh, it was all very silly, dear. Some telegram messenger was here with a telegram for someone called Brown Eyes.
Gee, Brown Eyes, Brown Eyes.
Well, no harm done. Lily sent him off with the message.
Oh, I think I hear my mother calling me, Pat.
Pa, I'll go with you. Maybe I can help you help her. Bye, Ma. Bye, Pop.
Yoo-hoo! Messenger!
Yoo-hoo! Oh, baby,
has may hold my Uncle Louis's entire future happiness in it.
Yoo-hoo! Hey, yo! Have you got a telegram for 431 Elm Drive? Is it addressed to Brown Eyes?
I'm Brown Eyes.
You are? I mean, you are.
Yes, I am, and it's terribly important, and I'd like my telegram right now, please.
Okay, Brown Eyes. Sign right here, please.
Oh, thank you. You're sweet. Isn't he, Jill?
No, like he says, you're sweet.
Okay, Brown Eyes. And if you should ever want to send a message or anything, just call the telegraph office and ask for me. Blue Eyes.
Cadillac.
Say.
Well, open it. I'm trying to. I keep shaking. I'm afraid. Hey, let's open it together.
Oh, okay. Hey, you hold it while I tear the flap.
Oh, no.
Oh, I think I hear my mother calling me.
Listen. Beloved Brown Eyes, flying to you on wings of love, arrived by bus this afternoon. Each minute seems like an hour. My fondest wish is that you find your lonesome lovable. Gulp. And it's signed, Lonesome No More. Oh, Jill.
Oh, Peg, Lonesome is coming here. And all we meant is that they, well, she and Louie should correspond.
Don't be bitter, Jill. All is not lost.
Yet, no. The worst is yet to come. Lonesome is coming to see Louie. And Louie doesn't want to see any female.
But there must be something we can do. I know. We can go down to the bus station and meet Lonesome ourselves.
Oh, what good would that do?
We can throw ourselves at her mercy, confess everything, and beg her forgiveness.
What if she isn't a forgiving type?
Jill, we can try.
Okay. Nothing can be much worse. Or can it?
Bus number 47 arriving from Westchester, Eastville, North Junction, Southtown, and Metropolis.
Oh, this is the bus to be on. Come on, Jill. Move up here with me where we can melt in the crowd.
I can melt all alone here by myself.
Now, keep your eyes on everyone who gets off that bus.
I am.
I don't see Lonesome. Do you?
No. Do you suppose she's wearing a disguise? Maybe that man.
Don't be silly. Why would she wear a disguise if she's coming on wings of love?
Peg. The last passenger got off. Lonesome wasn't on the bus.
Oh, I feel like the doomed man who's been given a reprieve.
Young women.
Do you mean us?
I'm looking directly at you as I speak. Is there some sort of public conveyance near this miserable bus station?
If you mean is there a taxi cab, yes. On the next corner in front of Green's drugstore.
Gross inefficiency. The cab stand should be directly adjacent to this station. Completely.
And thank you. Golly, she sure must hate herself.
Oh, she sure must. Speaking of the same, I'm not too popular with myself, are you? Jill. Oh, let's not think anymore, huh, Peg? Let's just be numb and dumb, huh?
Jill, did that woman back at the bus station remind you of anyone?
No one in particular. Just someone I wouldn't like if I knew them. She sounded about the meanest person I've ever heard. Except Mr. Curmudgeon, the lawyer.
Except Mr. Curmudgeon, the lawyer, who is the meanest and the stingiest bachelor in the whole world. Oh, well.
Oh, it's Mom and Pop. Hiya.
Hello.
Hello, you two. But what are you doing way down here?
Just walking. It's a lovely day to walk, isn't it, Jill?
Oh, basically lovely. Won't you join us?
Well, you two look all walked out. Come on, climb in, and we'll all have a nice, cool, refreshing soda.
Oh, swell.
Oh, golly, thanks.
Where to, Pop?
How about Green's drugstore, dear?
Oh, swell. But, Pop.
Yes, dear?
Would it be all the same to you and Mother if Jill and I had double-drip chocolate marshmallow fudge super delight?
Yes. Oh, my gracious.
You see, Pop, they're energy builders. And believe me, Jill and I need energy. Life isn't so bad, is it, Jill?
No, it'd be a lot better if I hadn't had that second double-drip chocolate marshmallow fudge super delight with the bananas on the side. I think the bananas are weighing me down.
Well, by the time we walk home, everything will be all right.
After all, Lonesome wasn't on the bus from Metropolis. Maybe she decided not to fly here on Wings of Love after all. She's probably very refined and highly educated. And a very refined and highly educated lady wouldn't just hop on a bus after getting a telegram from someone she didn't even know.
Could be. Could also be that a very refined and highly educated lady wouldn't run an advertisement looking for a husband.
I never thought of that.
No, I did. I feel worse.
Still, we've got to step on it and rush home. If Lonesome does get here, we've got to prepare my Uncle Louie for her. Come on. We've got to convince Uncle Louie to act charming.
Well, girls, what's new around town? Pull your chairs over here to the sofa where I can see you without turning around. Mm-hmm. I'm in a good thinking position now, and I don't want to disturb myself in case I get a terrific idea.
Uncle Louie, do you ever get lonesome?
Lonesome? No. I got everything I want. A devoted family, good food, fine bed, and your father keeps up all my subscriptions to the funny magazine. Why should I get lonesome?
But, Uncle Louie, suppose a beautiful young woman, one who was refined and highly educated and had lots and lots of money, fell madly in love with you. Wouldn't you consider marrying her?
Honey, if a dame like that walked in this house, I'd lock the doors and bar the windows so she couldn't get out.
See? Things look brighter. Uncle Louie, do you believe in fate?
Oh, I sure do. Now, the last job I had, that was just before you were born, Peggy. I'm riding the back end of this truck, see? Driver turns the corner sharp, see? I'm thrown off. And where do I land? In front of the hospital. Yeah, fate. That taught me a lesson, though. I've never worked since. Oh, dear. Whoops, doorbell. Say, I hope that's the delivery boy from Joe's. I ordered a triple-decker sandwich with a double malted milk. Oh, I gotta keep up my strength, you know. Well, I'll get it. I sure hope they didn't forget that side order of dill pickle. Oh, I thought it was the delivery boy from Joe's.
This is 431 Elm Drive, is it not?
He's on the bus station.
This is the residence of Mr. and Mrs. Mortimer Meek. They're both out.
Mr. and Mrs. Meek?
That's what I said. What can I do for you?
You can do nothing for me. And Mr. Brown Eyes Meek can do nothing either.
Brown Eyes?
You can tell Mr. Brown Eyes Meek when he returns that I'll be back with a lawyer. I'll show Mr. Brown Eyes what happens to women chasing falsifying philanderers. He
comes
this to
Lonesome. Now, look, lady.
Oh, I think I hear my mother calling me out the back door.
I don't know what your game is, but I don't want to play no games. I think you're nuts.
And I think you are low, vile, loathsome, repulsive, and fat. Good day.
It will be a good day as soon as you leave. Goodbye. How do you like that? Some squirrely old battle axe calling Mortimer Brown Eyes. Oh, we like start on, in on him. Boy, I'll make him miserable.
Don't say that word, Uncle Louie. Miserable. Oh, dear.
Peg, what are we going to do?
I'm thinking.
Oh, what good will that do? Your thinking got us into this mess.
Be quiet, Jill. Maybe I can think us out of it. Well, let me see. Uncle Louie and Lonesome had a fight right off. He wouldn't consider marrying her now under any circumstances.
Oh, he wouldn't consider. Did you hear what Lonesome called him?
Uncle Louie got too hungry to wait for the delivery boy from Joe's, so he walked down there. That's good.
What's good about it?
That means that when Lonesome gets back here with that lawyer, Louie won't be here. Now, Lily went to market. Oh, if only Mom and Pop don't come home, we've got a chance. We can confess to Lonesome and tell her it's all a mistake. We can promise to give her our allowances for the next 6 months.
Our allowances?
And I can give her that lavalier that Grandmother left me. It's got a genuine pearl in it. And you can give her your school ring.
My school ring?
Now, we've got to think up some way to pay the lawyer his fees. Maybe we can run errands for him or dust off his law book or carry his briefcase when he goes to court.
Oh, don't say that word, Peg. When you say court, it suggests a judge. And judge suggests prison. And that's where I don't want to be.
We'll plead real hard with Lonesome. We'll let the tears flow.
I won't be just acting.
We'll say that we meant well,
oh,
but...
famous last words.
You'll have to forgive us. You'll have to understand. Then Uncle Louie and Mom and Pops will never know anything about it, and we'll be free.
Oh, Peg.
Hmm?
Don't look now. But your mother and father are coming up the street.
Oh, no! Not that! Anything but that!
I certainly don't know why you'd want us all to go into the house on such a lovely afternoon, Peggy.
Well, neither do I, Mortimer. Besides, you can see everybody walking down the street from the porch.
That's the whole trouble. Well, Mother... Jill and I, we've worked up sort of a little play we thought you'd enjoy. Haven't we, Jill?
Oh, we have.
Oh, I mean, oh, yes, yes, we have.
Well, now, isn't that sweet? But it's too warm right now for play acting. Later, perhaps.
Later?
Yes, right now it's so peaceful here. I could stay here forever. Mm-hmm. Oh, my, it's a joke to be a boy again. I remember how happy and carefree I was when I was young. Nothing to worry about, nothing to fret over.
Oh, how true, Mortimer. We didn't know how lucky we were in those days.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Father, Mother.
Yes, Peggy?
What is it, dear?
I'd like some advice.
Well, ask right ahead, child. You know your father and I are both very understanding.
Oh, I hope so. Parents, suppose a girl tried to make somebody happy.
Well, that's very commendable. Now, my motto is, a little sunshine, a little joy.
Mortimer.
Yes, dear.
Go on, Peggy.
Well, this girl, this person, she tried to make somebody happy.
Mm-hmm.
This person, she thought she was doing good for that other person, but...
But what, dear?
But it didn't turn out the way she thought it would.
Are you telling me?
What's that, Jill?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all. Excuse me, Peggy.
Well, what I'd like to know is... Should that person be punished for trying to do good to that other person when the good she was trying to do turned out to be bad? Well, Terrence?
Yes. Let me see. Well, I would say... You handle it, Agatha.
Well, from what you've told us, dear, it's quite confusing. And since I don't have all the facts, I'll have to rely on my intuition. I can't say, however, that to begin with, it is wrong to try to do something for someone else without their knowledge. If that something is apt to turn out badly, do you follow me, Peggy?
I'm afraid so.
On the other hand...
He's coming down the street. He's coming
Where?
Down the street.
Oh, dear.
Jill, don't you feel well, dear?
Mrs. Meek, I feel awful. Just terrible.
Well, perhaps you should just run home at once.
Too late.
Hey, look. Isn't that skinflint, tightwad lawyer, Thaddeus Curmudgeon, coming up the walk?
Why, it is. He seems to be headed toward our house. Who's that strange woman he's with?
Terrence, I have something to tell you.
Well, not now, dear. Later. I wonder what they want.
But, Mother...
When Curmudgeon makes a call, it's seldom a pleasant one.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
And I want you to prosecute, Mr. Curmudgeon. Prosecute, I say.
If what you say is true, we'll sue in every court in the land.
Oh!
Excuse me, but what is all this about?
Are you the man of this house?
Yeah, I am. I'm Mortimer Meek, and this is Mrs. Meek.
You see, he brazenly admits he has a wife.
I beg your pardon?
You stay out of this.
Well, I know. Let's hold our tempers in check. Mr. Meek? Will you please answer a few questions?
Father,
Yes. Go right ahead, sir. Let's get this unpleasantly over with.
Unpleasantly? I suppose you think it was fun for me to build up my hopes and take the bus here clear from Metropolis. I suppose you think it was pleasant to be wooed with a beautiful telegram and asked to come to see Brown Eyes.
Brown Eyes?
Father, will you pay for this? You gay deceiver.
Gay deceiver?
You broken down Romeo, you...
Now, whoever you are and why ever you're here, I'll thank you to stop calling my husband names.
Your husband. Just wait until you hear.
Please, ladies.
Father, may I...
Now, just a minute, all of you. Now, I insist on...
You send telegrams to maiden ladies asking them for their hand in marriage.
Agatha, something's wrong here.
It certainly is.
And all the time you have a wife and a daughter. For shame. Lawyer Curmudgeon, we'll sue this man.
We certainly will. Meek, You will have to answer to breach of promise, arousing false expectancy in the heart of this charming lady, and making a mockery of the sanctity of marriage.
Now, just a moment. Now, that is too much. What do you know about the sanctity of marriage, curmudgeon? You confirmed old bachelor?
I sent the telegram, Father.
Now, just a minute. Now, curmudgeon, I'm with you. My gracious, what did you say, Peggy?
I said I sent the telegram and I signed it Brown Eyes. Only I meant good. I meant it for Uncle Louie.
Uncle Louie?
I just thought it would be nice to have a wedding and an aunt and... Oh, I wish I were dead.
Me too.
So this whole horrid mess you're doing, you young criminal. Well, I'll still sue. I'll spend $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 if necessary, but I'll get satisfaction.
$50,000? Well, well, well.
I'll leave no stone unturned. I'll drag you through every court in the land, even if it costs my entire fortune of $185,000.42.
Excuse me, please, Miss Lonesome, but if you're going to spend your entire fortune, you might just as well spend it on a husband. Now, Mr. Curmudgeon is a bachelor, and he's a lawyer, and he...
Oh, Agatha, I think the child has a point.
Don't try to get my mind off what I'm saying.
Excuse me, my dear, but you mustn't work yourself up. You're very bright, my child. I think perhaps if we retire to Green's drugstore for a nice, cool drink, perhaps all this can be cleared up with benefit to all. Won't you take my arm, my dear?
Well, if you insist. Good day. And consider yourselves fortunate that my lawyer is such a kind and considerate man. Oh, Mr. Cavalier, you're so delighted.
And in Rosie's, come, my dear, and tell me all about your investment.
Oh, Mother, Father.
Oh, now, not another word, dear. I think we've had about all the excitement any of us can stand for a while. Don't you, Mortimer?
Yes, I'll say. Oh, my golly. Come to think of it, I was almost made a bigamist.
Oh.
And by my own daughter, too.
Mr. Meeks is played by Forrest Lewis, Mrs. Meeks by Fran Allison, Peggy Meeks by Beryl Vaughn. Others heard on today's performance were Mary Frances Desmond, Elmira Ressler, Cliff Sevier, Hope Summers, and John Coon. Meet the Meeks is written and directed by Les Weinrot. Be sure to join us again next Saturday over these same stations when the National Broadcasting Company again invites you to Meet the Meeks. This is Henry Cook speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.